Before I go any further, I'm going to ask the Lord's blessing and his help, because no one needs it worse than I do. Kind Heavenly Father, I thank you again for our time together, and thank you again for your word, and thank you for the privilege to examine it together with these, my beloved family in Christ, Lord. I examine it with them, Lord. As much as I am enjoying the opportunity to present it to them, Lord, I can accomplish nothing without your help, Lord. Hide me in your shadow, that only you be seen this morning, Lord. And I thank you, Lord, for every listening heart, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The title of, well, I'll back up first. The last time that I filled the pulpit in my pastor's place, I shared with you a message that was titled, Who is God Really? And that message really expressed that throughout the history of humanity, God's people have had a tendency, and we have this recorded for us in the scriptures, throughout the history of humanity, God's people have had a tendency, especially in times of adversity, God's people have had a tendency of forgetting who he is really. And as I presented that message, I realized that perhaps I should have used a different message that day, because it may be some time again until I get the pulpit in the pastor's place. And it really would have been more effective to present that message to you, who is God really, with this one in succession the following week or in a following service, because the two are so linked, the two are so connected. In fact, the message, who is God really, really actually begs you to hear the following message, the one that I'll be sharing with you today, entitled, In His Image. Also, throughout the history of humanity, especially in times of adversity, God's people have had a tendency to forget who he is really, but also, and of equal importance, God's people have had a tendency to forget, especially in times of adversity, who we are in him. Thus, the message is titled today, In His Image, and we'll be examining the creation story. You already stood in honor of God's word, and I ask his blessing upon it, and I won't ask you to do so again. I don't think necessarily that that needs to be done, but I'll be reading from Genesis chapter 1, essentially very quickly reading for you the creation story. You can follow along as best you can. I read very quickly, and I don't know what to do about that, so I'm going to just read very quickly. In Genesis chapter 1, we read, In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, Let there be light, and there was light, and God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. And the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he the seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass and herb yielding seed, and the fruit yielding seed fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good in the evening and the morning, were the third day. And God said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven, and divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons, and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also, and God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good, and the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of the heavens. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, and cattle and creeping things, and beasts of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Now, I'll make no argument that was a rather large portion of scripture to share before delivering a message, but I'll argue this as well. It was way too short to define God's creation of all things. And I don't think anybody here today is not totally fascinated by God's creation of all things. There's none of us here who are not moved, who are not magnetized by the awesomeness of God's creation. The thing that's so fascinating to me is people are moved and magnetized by God's creation that don't know him, that don't have a personal relationship with him. In fact, there's some who claim to not even believe in God at all, but yet they're magnetized, they're moved, they're mesmerized by the awesomeness of God's creation. Everybody here is familiar with that magnetization, that mesmerization of God's awesome creation. Go to your national parks and look at the crowds and see the views yourself of the awesome things that God created. It's just inspiring in so many ways. You can view a sunset over the ocean. You can view a sunset from your meager kitchen window or home. And it just inspires you in ways that you can't describe and can't explain. After all of this time, no matter how long it's been since the earth was created, all of God's wonderful creation still all inspires every human being that has the privilege to enjoy all of this that he created. The crowds at your sites and parks and things that you will encounter, it just never ends. Go to Niagara. There's always a crowd. You just can't even imagine that so many people are mesmerized by God's creation in such a way. But, you know, we all can relate to that ourselves. I just can't get over it. You know, we each have our own favorite part of God's creation. For me, it's the mountains. I just can't get over it. You know, they're so fascinating and so awesome to me the way that they are. I just feel sometimes that I'm the reason he made mountains, you know, and for you it may be something else, you know, but we are all inspired by God's awesome and amazing creation. Still today, They are still writing documentaries and still making documentary programs that I so enjoy to watch, nature programs and things on TV about God's awesome and fabulous creation. And the thing that's most astounding is after all of this time of humanity's opportunity to enjoy and examine and analyze God's creation, there's so many things that we've yet still not even discovered. The seas are virtually unexplored, not to mention the universe and the universes, and on I could go of how God's amazing and awesome and wonderful creation magnetizes all of humanity from the beginning of humanity's time on earth, and still today we are all inspired and magnetized by God's amazing creation. And at the end of each day of God's creation, at the end of each and every day, God looked upon the things that he created. It's hard for us to even imagine this. It's hard for us to ever in any way put ourselves in the place of an almighty God. But at the end, if you can imagine, at the end of every day of God's creation, he spoke those words. He looked at his creation and he said, "It is good." Essentially, God was looking at all and each and every one of the things that he created, and he was saying to himself, and he was having conversation with himself and with the Trinity, and he was saying at the end of each day of creation, he was saying, "I did a really good job. That's amazing. That's awesome. That's wonderful. It'll stand the test of time." He essentially was saying, throughout all of time in this world, these things that I have created will all inspire every human being that gets to experience them. And at the end of every day, he looked at what he created and he said, "Man, I did good." And he wasn't wrong, because it moves us all still today, and will until its end. So, if we are so moved, if we are so magnetized, if we are so awe-inspired by all of the things that God created in this world, I ask you this, or I want to express this to you. Everything that God created, he created at his spoken word. But on the sixth day, he done something very much different than that. He done something very much different than how he created all things. On that sixth day, God didn't just speak into human existence. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 7, you can read that the Lord God formed man. He literally formed us out of the dust of the ground. And if that wasn't enough, if that extra emphasis on our creation wasn't enough, God went even further. He didn't just speak us into existence. He formed us from the dust of the ground. And then he put even greater emphasis on our creation, on our There was another word, but I'll say creation again. And the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground. He formed us. We were literally formed. We were literally made. We were literally his image before we were even alive. And then God went even further. He put even more emphasis on our creation. He didn't just speak us into existence. He didn't just say, "Let there be man," and there was man. He formed us from the dust of the ground, perhaps with his own hands, let's just say and imagine. And then he went even further. He put more emphasis, more even so, on our creation as he breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. And man, we became a living soul. In him we live and breathe and have our being. So I'm trying to illustrate for you here. And this convicts my heart right down to the bone every time that I share it with somebody or every time that I present this message from a podium, it'll convict your heart down to the bone, the saintliest one in this building. If humanity is so inspired by all of God's marvelous creation, do you understand, and will you understand with me, that he put far more emphasis in the creation of man? He put far more emphasis on my creation than he did all of the things else in the world that he only spoke into existence. And this is going to sound a little funny to you in some ways, but there's so much truth to it that we need to grasp onto and embrace. If the world of humanity is so inspired by God's awesome creation that he put less emphasis on than he put on our creation, shouldn't they be magnetized and awe-inspired by us? Shouldn't they be examining us and be just as amazed as they are as of a sunset over the ocean? I shared some of this with Bob Barner as I visited with him when he was feeling poorly, and I said it in this way. Obviously, no one's going to look at me and be magnetized in the same identical way as they are over the sunset over the ocean in Hawaii. Obviously. But what I am trying to express to you, and we have a tendency to forget this. It's very easy for us. And I say to everybody when I express this, I say to everybody, you don't have to beat yourself up too much. You don't have to feel extremely bad about this, but it needs to be brought to our attention. We need to be aware of it because we have a duty based on our creation to express the image of our Creator. That's what we were created for. Even those who don't know God intimately and personally, I expressed it this way to somebody that I was witnessing to on a Gideon journey, a presentation that I had in northern Pennsylvania. I expressed it to this individual this way because she was the owner of a business, a motel and restaurant, and I expressed it to her this way as an opening to witness to her about the things of the Lord. I said to her, I said, ma'am, I won't say her name. I said to her, ma'am, you enjoy a great privilege. And she kind of looked at me strangely, and an opening like that certainly gets anyone's attention. And she looked at me strangely, and I said, you enjoy a great privilege. You get to see beautiful people here in your business, in your establishment, at their most beautiful time. They're out enjoying family and one another, and having a meal and drinks, and you enjoy a great privilege because people are beautiful. All people are beautiful because they were created in God's image. And then I expressed to her, now understand, all people are not beautiful all of the time. And I certainly fall into that category all too often. But it is a fact and something that we somehow overlook and oftentimes ignore. God's people are beautiful because they were created in God's image. All of them. It's a difficult thing for me sometimes, all of them. Even the ones that aren't necessarily being beautiful at the time. They are beautiful. They were created in God's image, and we fall short of reverencing God's creation if we don't recognize that people are beautiful. Yes, they don't always do beautiful things. Yes, sometimes I'm not very beautiful. As I shared with this this nice lady in witness to her, I said to her, all people are beautiful, but all people are not beautiful all of the time. And I said, I certainly fall in that category sometimes. And she expressed to me, yeah, I do too, as my cooks ruined a prime rib roast for my weekly special, and it cost me a lot of money. She said I wasn't a very beautiful person at that time. But in fact, we are all beautiful because we were created in God's image, and now I'll take it a step farther. That image, indeed, no one here can disagree. We were created in God's image, but that image became instantly distorted by sin and disobedience to the Lord, for sure and certain. And that's why all people are beautiful, but not all people are beautiful all the time, even those of us who know him. And then something beautiful happened, and we're coming into that season, the greatest gift to mankind that has ever been given. That beautiful image that God created us in and was distorted by sin became restored through Christ Jesus our Lord. So each and every one of us who have come into a personal and intimate relationship with the one and only true and living God through the Spirit of His only begotten Son, Christ Jesus, our Lord, alive and real within our hearts, our broken, our distorted image has been wholly restored, but yet we are. The point I was beginning to express before I expressed everything else. Froze my brain. That's not hard to do. It's really small. Our image became restored in Christ. And yes, even though that's true, we are still human. So it's easy for us in times of adversity. Is there anybody here? I like to do this. I do it a lot in my Gideon presentation. Is there anybody here that's unfamiliar with adversity in life? Anyone? Someone, please raise your hand. I want to talk to you at the end of the service. And of course, nobody ever raises their hand. It's easy for us, even though our image has been restored, it was distorted by sin and been restored through Jesus Christ our Lord, even though we're Christians, even though we should be able to express God's image better than we do at times, we are also human. So when adversity comes, in times of adversity, when we are immersed, when we are bombarded with gloominess and doominess in the world around us, and that's just talking collectively, we're all in that thing together. There's nothing around us but gloom and doom at every turn, and none of us have the answers. None of us have the roadmap of how to navigate these things. The world indeed is gloomy and doomy, and then we can focus even on our own personal adversities. Insert your own story. We all have adversity. We all have hardship. We all have heartache in our lives. And so indeed we are human, and it's very easy for us, even though our beautiful image that was distorted by sin became restored through Jesus Christ our Lord, we are still human also. But I'm here today to remind you that we are to bear, we are to express his image in a way that's different from those that don't know him. I know it's hard. I know that we're immersed in gloom and doom, but I'm telling you what, we are to be prepared to give a reason for the hope that is in us. And the first thing we have to do before we can ever give a reason for the hope that is in us is we have to express hope. And that's not easy. I'm not asking you to do something that's all that easy, because we are immersed in gloom and doom. We are immersed in a world of hopelessness in many senses, collectively together as humanity. And then we also have so much adversity and hardships and heartaches of our own. But I, in conclusion, what I want to bring to your attention, what I want to everyone to take with you in conclusion is, you know, you're all in this together with me. We're all experiencing the same things in life collectively, not to mention the adversities and hardships of our own. But I will tell you this, this is what I want you to take with you. In times of adversity, we not only have to remember who God is really, I wish I could share that message all over again, but equally as important, we need to remember in times of of adversity, amidst gloom and doom, we need to remember who we are in Him. We were created in His image, and then that image became distorted by sin and became restored through Christ Jesus our Lord. So what I am trying to express to you today, the message that I want to leave with you today, there's no argument that can be made. If you want to make one, it won't accomplish much with me. I promise you, no matter how much someone might choose to argue, I don't think anyone would. We have never experienced a greater time in the history of all of humanity to express hope to the hopeless than the one we're living in right now. There's never been an opportunity for the church who has had their distorted image restored through Christ Jesus our Lord. There has never been a greater opportunity in the history of all of humanity and time and life of this world to be the church than the one that we're living in right now. And we don't have to be religious scholars. We don't have to be preachers and teachers. We don't have to be especially intelligent. All we have to do is express who we are in Him. I know I'm not asking something easy, but I'm telling you this. If you get caught up in the gloominess and doominess around you in the world, yeah, it's real and it's not going away. But there's never been a brighter and a better opportunity for you to be vessels of hope. Even while you're experiencing gloomy and doomy things, the world will be magnetized by the image that you portray. If you portray His image, they'll be more magnetized to you and by you than they are by a beautiful sunset over the ocean, because God put much more emphasis in our creation than He did the sunset over an ocean. Obviously, no one's going to look at Pete Carnahan and be moved exactly the same way that a beautiful sunset over the ocean would be. But I'm trying to express to you, we should have the image that we portray should have the same magnetization to people, the same impact on people, where they look at us and they say, the same as one might when he looks at a beautiful vista, they look at us and say, there has to be a God, because I see it in Him. I see it in her. We've never had a greater opportunity. All we need to do is express hope when everything appears hopeless. All we have to do, and I know, I say all we have to do, and I know it's not easy. We're human too. I understand. I tell people this. I'm one of them humans too, and often they say I don't believe that. But I am. It's hard. It's hard not to just be negative and gloomy and doomy, right along with those that haven't had their beautiful image restored in Christ. But we waste a grand opportunity. There's never been a greater one. The only part of this message that is quoted, and I hate to say it because it's my favorite part and it's not my words. I heard it from another minister. My favorite part of this message, in His image, and in conclusion, is there's never been a greater time to be the church. So speak, church. Speak, just bear His image no matter how much it hurts, no matter how gloomy and doomy everything that we're experiencing in life is. Express hope and you will magnetize the hopeless. They will look at you and say, I don't know what's going on here. I don't have a way to explain this. But inside, even though they don't understand what they're seeing, they'll be magnetized to your behavior and to your characteristics in times of adversity in a way that says to them, there's hope. Somewhere, somehow, there's hope. And some cases, they'll essentially be feeling, even if they're not saying it, because of what they see in you, they'll know that there has to be a God. And we've never experienced a greater opportunity to speak as the church. So I say again in closing, speak, church, speak. Just keep up the fight. I know gloom and doom's at your doorstep. I know hardships everywhere you turn. I know questions that you don't know how to answer everywhere you go. But don't waste this grand opportunity, because there's never been a greater one presented to us. And it's all just so simple. All we got to do is be what we were created to be, in his image, and express that everywhere we go to the best of our ability. And I'm going to close right there. And as always, it never comes out exactly like you thought it would or rehearsed it to, but hopefully I presented God's word in a way today that is helpful and meaningful to you going forward. If you'll bow your hearts, I'll close in prayer. Kind Heavenly Father, I know I don't ask something easy because I'm human too. I know, Lord, it's hard. The weights and the responsibilities and the trials and the struggles and the hardships and the heartaches in life, it's not easy, Lord, to express your beautiful image. Even having it restored through Christ Jesus our Lord, it's hard, it's difficult sometimes. I ask your blessing upon each and every listener in this place this morning, Lord. Me first, not me included, me first. Help me to be more beautiful more of the time. And help me to recognize the beauty in all of humanity, because they were indeed created in your image, Lord, and many of them, that image has been distorted by sin and not yet restored. And we need, through our expression of you and through our restored image, express to them that there's hope, even when everything appears hopeless, Lord. And we don't need to be grand scholars to do that, Lord. All we need to do is overcome our humanity, overcome our fears, overcome our anxieties, overcome our heartaches, and express you in a beautiful way that the hopeless are magnetized by that expression. I thank you for this time this morning, Lord. I thank you for using someone as simple as me with my stammering tongue and my confused mind to have the opportunity to share your word with my beloved family in Christ. It's a joy and a privilege, as much as I miss my pastors when he's not here with us. I do enjoy the privilege, and thank you for it, Lord. And I ask that you will just have applied your word rightly to our hearts so that we can demonstrate it in our lives as we go forth from this place, Lord, because what happens here becomes even more important when we take it outside these doors. In Jesus' precious and wonderful name we pray. Amen. Lord bless you, everyone.